The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We hope you're having a great Wednesday. They'd call it Hump Day. And so at the middle of the week, so we hope it's going well with you. We're going to study from the book of Exodus, and I just want to start the program out with chapter 23, verse 2, the first part, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil." What a verse for 2025. I hope that you're today and you're willing to say, "I stand with God even if I stand alone." Alex, the Word of God, I love the theology, the doctrine, the promises, the principles, but some of that just really hits home with me. I would just say good common sense. Don't follow an evil crowd. I think that's just good advice, brother.
Well, it really is, and Bert, it's great to be with you. Welcome to the program, everybody, Exploring the Word. We are in the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 23, and had a great show yesterday. Thanks to Jeff Shambly for joining in. You know, besides spiritual truths, moral principles, like you said, there is just good common sense. And you remember where, I think it's in Proverbs, where it says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Remember that?
I do, yes.
In other words, you know, don't fall in with the wrong crowd. Don't go along with the flow to do evil. And Exodus 23:2, do not follow, the King James says, "a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment." In other words, you know, don't be a party to something that will wrest or leverage or derail judgment and truth. Bert, there's salvation, believing in Jesus, but beyond even, you know, being converted, being born again, we are called to moral living and to be even more precise, righteous living, aren't we?
We really are. And matter of fact, chapter 23, verses 1 through 9 is just complicit with practical sense, common sense. And so it will help you. Listen, Alex, I looked at that and I was preparing for today and I had read it before, but sometimes when you're reading it, some things has happened in your life and it becomes even of a greater significance when you read it. And I love this whole thing. Is it all right just for me to start reading verse 1, 2, and 3 and then we come back and comment on these? Would that be
Amen.
Good?
Read, brother.
"You shall not circulate a false report. Mm-hmm. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute." Again, here it is. God is laying this out. And I know I'm going to do this quite often through the book of Exodus, Alex, because we might have people that didn't hear it the first time, somebody that's new to Exploring the Word. And it is, this is God giving the commandments, the judgments, the principles, promises, right before they were to go in to occupy the land that had been given to Abraham and his descendants years and years ago, but they had never been able to occupy it because there weren't that many until they went to Egypt. And in that difficult place, they multiplied. And they left out, I forgot exactly, 70-something, but they come back with thousands, even million, possibly, some people think. And I'm one of those. And here it says, this is how you're to operate. Have you ever gotten an owner's manual, Alex?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what it says? For best operating results.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Would you read chapter 23, especially verses 1 through 9, it's all over. But I say, for best operating results, follow these guidelines. I think they're significant. I would say follow these commands. I shouldn't say guidelines, but they are guidelines that are commands. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, and there's just good, besides good common sense for living, there's actually compassion. And I want to read something. Bert, when you and I first started doing the show together, at that point, Angie and I were living on a very, very rural road out in the country. And a lot of the neighbors, we didn't see each other, but maybe once a year, everybody was fine. But, you know, people come and go and everybody, you know, does their thing. But I remember this man who kept cattle on this field next to us, the fence got broken down somehow, and all these cows were out in a busy street. I mean, it really could have been disastrous. Suddenly, and there was only about six houses on our road. We were out in the country. Suddenly, everybody was out in the road trying to get these cattle in and trying to help cars and trucks not crash into these poor livestock that were just in the road. Now, I think about that when I read this. We neighbors that you just hardly ever saw, but when it was a man's livestock and the life and death of these innocent animals, we all pulled together. Now let me read this. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Now, the thing in my neighborhood, we weren't enemies. It's just nobody ever saw each other that much. If you see the donkey of him that hates you lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. In other words, even if it's a neighbor that maybe you guys are crossways against each other, but if you see the poor donkey who has fallen down under his load, you don't just let that animal suffer. You do the right thing. It doesn't matter who it is. And, you know, I'm old enough and from the country enough that if somebody's animals were out, look, we all pitched in to try to get them back in the field because there's something higher than petty disagreements. And that's helping each other. That's looking after, you know, animals. It's also people's livelihood. Bert, when I read this, and America was built on this, just being a good neighbor. And I guess we could almost summarize this section of Exodus 23. If we're a godly person, we're supposed to be a goodly person, a good neighbor, aren't we?
We really are. And you mentioned it, not just compassion for your neighbor, but I think this demonstrates compassion for the animal himself.
Indeed.
And again, that's God's creation. And again, I know on this program, I tend to say some things over and over, and he's not just our Redeemer. He's our Creator, you know, mm-hmm. And he's made this. And what did he tell Adam and Eve? To be stewards over of it, be caregivers. Guess what, Alex? That still is true today.
We are our brother's keeper.
We are. We really are. And so here, this is demonstrated even in relationships that are broken. Let me bring it down to really practical things about a husband and a wife and the possibility of divorce. I hate divorce. God is not the divorced person, but what divorce does. And what can happen, and there may be someone listening, and I hope God will help you to be an overcomer. There may be so much animosity in your life toward your spouse that you felt it's done you wrong, did you wrong, hurt beyond any words that I could express, but there's children. Listen, have some civility about you.
Have mercy.
Yes. Listen, if you've done as many weddings as I have, and while I was pastoring here in Tupelo, lots of weddings, and a lot of them from broken homes, and you would see sometimes this animosity would rise up. Most of the time it did not, for the sake of the child. And so, listen, this is true with animals. How much more it should be with children and the children. And let me just say this again. We should not have had all the illegal immigrants into our land. It was horrible. It was terrible. But there's children that are involved. And I just want to tell you, children are children regardless. And I'm not saying, I'm not putting a political statement out here, Alex. I'm just talking about the compassion that our God has for those. And here we may disagree. We could disagree completely in every what to do. But when that child is involved and that person is involved, there should be some compassion there. You may be disagreeing on what the compassion leads you to, but Alex, you should look at it that way. Would you disagree with that, or would that be accurate?
Absolutely. And, you know, Christians of all people are to show compassion. The Greeks they called it the law of general beneficence. You've heard of like the benevolent offering at church or something, but beneficence means you're going to be compassionate, forthright, true, and honest with another human being. And certainly, you know, the Bible has so much to say, and we're going to get back to Exodus 23, but the Bible has so much to say about the wife of your youth. And look, it's a fallen world. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, this is a great quote. This is golden. Ruth Bell Graham said, "Marriage should be the union of two forgivers."
Good forgivers. Later she added that adjective.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to say another thing too about, you know, being a neighbor. I know this sounds crazy, maybe, and I'm from the South, you can tell, but I mean, I don't think it was till the mid-80s before we ever really started locking our doors. And I'm entirely serious. Now, you're supposed to be responsible and lock the doors. But it really was that Mayberry, Andy Griffith kind of era I grew up in. And Bert, yep, Proverbs 3:29 says, "Do not plot harm against your neighbor, for he trusts you," or "he dwells securely by you." I mean, it's a sacred thing if somebody trusts you, and you dare not break that trust. You know, Bert, there's just something about being trusted that you don't want to violate.
Amen. And that's what verse 7 talks about. Listen to this. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Man, mm-hmm. Don't even go near it. There's some things you're to avoid. Do not go, you know, do not touch it. Do not go around it. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you mm-hmm. shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Let me complete verse 9. Also, you shall not oppress a stranger. Oh, me. What is a stranger? For you know the heart of a stranger. And listen what he reminds them of, Alex. Because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Listen, I was at once far away from God. Now, I came to God as a 12-year-old boy. You were in your teenage 20, years. Or 20,
21 years
okay.
old.
Okay. And listen, we were strangers. You can call it that, foreign to God. But God brought us in. And we're not talking about not having justice. We're not talking about having a civil society. But I remember, you know, except for the grace of God. You know, Alex, mm-hmm. the grace of God is what makes the difference in our lives if we could only understand it and experience it. We're praying, those of you that's listening, you've experienced the grace of God in your life through Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross. He bore your sins. He was buried and rose again, overcoming our greatest enemies, sin and death. Have you put your faith in Christ? I pray that you have. Alex and I'll be back with more from Exodus chapter 23. There's still some good verses here. Don't go away. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28,
and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Every second of our lives, we are precious in His sight. We are children to a Father, gave His all to give us life. It don't matter where you are.
Amen. God loves people like you and people like me. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. And we're in Exodus 23. We're going to continue. But, you know, it may be that you're thinking about your summer plans. And if that be the case, let me encourage you to consider coming to the Activate Summit. In Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th, 13th, and 14th, it's going to be an amazing conference. I have the privilege. I'll be speaking. Jenna Ellis, Ed Vitagliano, Frank Turek. It is going to be phenomenal. It's really for all ages. There are going to be things for kids, things for teenagers. The theme is bedrock, that Scripture is our foundation. And Bert, at the Activate Biblical Worldview Summit, one of the things that Tim Wildman has asked me to speak on is the evidence for the Bible. How do we know that the Bible is indeed the Word of God? And yes, I do believe 1,000% that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant, true, trustworthy Word of God. I'll be talking about that. And Activate is great. And I'll say this, and then Bert, if you would, I want you to give the website and registration info. But my wife and I have come to love the city of Tupelo. And it's at the Cadence Arena. But you're going to love visiting Tupelo, Mississippi. There is a lot to see, a lot to do, a lot of really good restaurants, by the way. But Bert, we just think that people who come to the Activate Summit, they're going to have just an unforgettable part of their summer, aren't they?
They will. And the good thing about it, you'll meet other people that love the Lord, not just these leaders that's coming, you and others, Alex, and the staff here at AFR will be helping and greeting people. But it's just a fantastic time to equip yourself in a way that will help the whole family. And you can register. Here it is. You can go to afa.net/summit. That's afa.net/summit. Or you can go to afa.net/events. But either one of them will take you there. But start with afa.net, and you may have these all come up. But remember, afa.net, summit. If that doesn't work, go to events and register there again. June the 12th, 13th, and 14th of this year in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Amen. Amen. Well, we hope to see you there. And, you know, Bert, before the break, we were in Exodus 23 and talking about in verse 8, it says, "Thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverts the words of the righteous." I looked up that word in the Hebrew, and it's the word for bribe. And let me tell you, you want to be a person of truth that can't be bought. You know, and we've seen in whether it be in court cases or in the halls of government, when people's word is up for sale to the highest bidder, that's not a good thing.
It is not. Well, Alex, after you get through with that, verses 10 and 13, and I thought, man, these are good verses for Bert Harper and Alex McFarland in the land when we were growing up. Alex, you was a farm boy. I was a farm boy. And they did not have as much, quote, fertilizer, and it may have been good with all the elements and the chemicals that's in fertilizer these days that, you know, you wonder about sometimes. When you start reading labels and you see all the stuff that's in those, you wonder, what in the world is that? Some of them are so long. But anyway, a lot of plants, they go down and they get their nutrients. And if those nutrients have some stuff in it that need not be in it, you know, it goes to the fruit. But let me read this. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce. But the seventh year you shall not let it, you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people, the field, may eat. In like manner you shall do your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son, your maidservant, the stranger, may be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. Now, why would it end that in 13? Because the people that they're going into, they had a God for everything, the God for the fruit, the God for the land. No, it is the God, your creator and your redeemer. But Alex, verses 10 through 12 really talk about good farming practices, doesn't it?
Well, they do. And really, verse 12 there is a restatement of Exodus 22, verse 9. 6 days shall you labor and rest on the seventh day. And then the other is, verse 13 is a rephrasing, if you will, of 22:20, that we are to sacrifice to the Lord only and to no other God. And hey, the God of the Bible is the true and living God. They're not plural G-O-D-S, but there's only one God. And we're not to be an idolater or a pagan and sacrifice or trust in any other gods. But then it goes on, and Bert, you look for repeated words. Several times in the remainder of this chapter, there's talk of things we're to do three times. Three times, keep a feast unto the Lord. Keep the feast of unleavened bread, as God commanded. The feast of harvest, that's really the feast of first fruits. Three times in the year all males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. Now, Bert, we can read all these verses, but here's the thing, the minutiae and the specifics of this. For one thing, God is very serious about his people relating to him in the way that he is revealed. And trusting what the Bible says means trusting the one who gave the Bible, who is Almighty God. But the other thing I would say, if you look at the law of Moses, whether it be here in Exodus 23 or any of the verses, I mean, real quickly, you see that it is in depth. I mean, there's so much minutia that I hate to say it's burdensome, but in a way, I do think people then would have said, you know, God, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Keeping your law is so intricate and minute. Lord, I need your mercy. I don't come to you claiming to have kept your law because I humanly can't do it. But God, I need your grace. Please have mercy on me. Isn't it the gravity of God's law that causes us to realize how desperately we need a merciful Savior?
Amen, Alex. So true. It reveals who he is, but it also reveals how short we come to knowing him. Now, let me make this comment about verses 14 through 19. Notice the rest days. We've talked about the seventh day, but now, every year there's three feasts that are to be kept. And I know he read it. It's really what would be translated later to be called Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. And these times was, notice what God does. He said, out of the routine of the week, set one day apart. Okay? And we'll get to the tithe, set that apart. Here is three feast days, and each one of them is set aside. Get out of your routine, break your routine, and let God invade your life at these points and let you recognize who God is. Remember what he's done. Each one of these is a remembrance of what God has done. But it also teaches the children that is in your household, passing it on. I want to tell you what God did generations ago. This is what God expects of us. And this is not just information for God, where God's recognized, although it is, and what he's done. It's helpful to those who will be participating in it. So, Alex, I would say the seventh year of the land resting is for the benefit of the people who own the land, because it gives them rest and it reestablishes the nutrients that's in it. Here's the feast days that they're to recognize as you come apart. And then when you go back in, you're revigorated and you're remembering. All of these, yes, they honor God, but honestly, the beneficiary is those that observe them.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're right. And it goes on, and we are to obey the voice of God. And I love this, verse 22, if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites. I will cut them off. Amen. Now, before I think verse 24 is just powerful, but first of all, let me say this. We are to heed God's word, and we are to trust God's word. And let me say that this is really powerful. And Bert, I was in a pastor's meeting recently, and the subject of spiritual warfare came up. And one of the pastors, during a break, he said, could we not talk about this? Because he said, I just don't, this, you know, militaristic warfare, that's just not kind of what people need to hear these days. And I said, well, look, there's a lot positive and uplifting about the gospel, but truth be told, we are in spiritual warfare. Yeah. Satan and his demons are real. They're the enemies of our soul. And it is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. And if you're a believer, we are victors in Christ. We need not fear. But when it talks about following God, and our adversary will be God's adversary, count me in, because I need God to undertake for me. I need to be, in the shadow of his wings. Don't you know what I
Hallelujah,
mean?
Hallelujah, Alex.
This is powerful.
And it is. Notice here in verse 20, I send an angel, okay, before you. And then listen to this angel. Beware of him, that's the angel, and obey his voice. Do not provoke him. Now listen to this. For he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey him, this is verse 22, his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversary. And then in verse 23, for my angel will go before you. Alex, in my New King James Version, angel is capitalized.
Amen.
And then it talks about my name is in him, capitalized. My angel in verse 23, and all the pronouns that refer to him are capitalized. Let me ask you, is this angel somebody special, you think? Possibility?
Folks, this is even more than Gabriel or Michael. This is, I think, this is a reference to the pre-incarnate Christ.
Hallelujah.
The
one more thing.
Of the Lord.
One more thing. Let me share this with you. This angel was what? Bringing them to the land that God had promised them. Jesus Christ, even in our day, he is gone to prepare a place for us. And it says, when I come again, I will take you unto myself, and I will take you back. I'm paraphrasing. He's even now preparing a place for us so he can take us to that. That angel, Alex, Jesus Christ, he was Amen. Leading them then. He led them when he was here upon earth, and he's leading us now and in the future. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Well, I've often mentioned this great book by James Borland, Christ in the Old Testament. I encourage you to check this out. But yes, now it's talking about The Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites. Okay. Verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, and that's little g, G-O-D-S, or serve them, or do after their works. Listen, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Amen. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And then it goes on and it talks about both people and animals not having a miscarriage. There shall nothing cast their young. God says, I'm going to send fear before the people. Now, here's the thing. I've heard people say, okay, Alex, you know, we're Christians, but, you know, don't be so hard against the Muslims because that, remember, Alex, they're sincere about what they believe. Well, yeah, but I want to say this. The Bible is clear. There is no Savior but Jesus.
Amen.
None.
Amen, Alex.
If Jesus is the one and only Savior, and that's what he said, and he rose from the dead, then on the flip side, everything outside of Jesus is not a Savior. And notice in verse 24, regarding the false gods, whatever they be, they're to be overthrown and broken down because there is no God but the biblical God. There's no Savior but the biblical Jesus. And there is no heaven except through the true and risen Lord Jesus Christ.
And he's going to drive all these groups out. And he says in verse 29, I'll not drive them out before you in 1 year. Sometimes you can win too quickly. And what happens in that, you know, you don't build while you're tearing down. You build while you're winning. And it says in verse 30, little by little, I'll drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. The land is yours. You got to do it my way. Hey, we're going to take phone calls in this last segment. That number, 888-589-8840. We would love your Bible question today.
Hey, we're announcing a weekend with AFA on Thursday, October the 2nd through Saturday, October the 4th. We'll have a weekend get-together with AFA leadership and supporters. It's a chance for all of us to get better acquainted.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Amen. I love that song. Brent, thank you for selecting that. Brent, are you ready to talk? Are you ready to say something?
I can be. Here I am.
Does that does that song have anything to do with your life?
Oh, my goodness. Does it ever?
It's mercy. Hey, mercy. Hey, it's all of us. And listen, praise God for his grace and mercy. Alex, we got Thomas, and Thomas going to get to you in just a moment. And the phone number, he's the only one online, so you got an opportunity. We'll go to him in just a minute. It's 888-589-8840. We'd love your phone call today. But, Alex, let's look at two verses. I mentioned one of them, but you, after we were off the air, you was talking about verse 31. But verse 30, little by little, I'll drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. They would go in at Jericho, and Ai, that was right in the middle of the land that God had promised them, and the boundaries are going to get next. But then they would take the south and then the north, and they did it over a period, probably 7 years, and they would conquer the land. And it let them build as they were winning, you know? And mm-hmm. That's so important, to build as you're winning. Listen, if you just go in, wipe everything out, you don't have a foundation to build on and everything, you're going to find yourself teetering and tottering. But here he says, I'm not going to do it in 1 year. I'm going to do it little by little. And he would do that. But verse 31, Alex, take it away. You was talking about that. I love this. It gives us the procedure, but it also gives us something else in verse 31, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. And I'm glad you're bringing this up, because the Jewish people are not squatters in the land of Israel. This is their ancestral homeland given by God. The land of Israel belongs to the Israelites, not only by historical precedent, not only by scriptural prescription, but by divine right. And it says, I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before thee. God says, don't make a covenant with them, nor their gods. They shall not dwell in your land. Now, Bert, we've seen so much of Islamic terrorism fighting against Israel, and even those in the media and the political left, they act like, you know, Israel needs to ask permission before they possess and live in the land God gave them. I think it's just important to point out that Exodus 23:31 and other verses that, look, folks, we're talking going back at least 3,500 years, if not longer. The land of Israel belongs to the nation of Israel.
And they've never occupied it completely. The biggest time was under David and Solomon. But yes, after they started having the divided kingdom, the north and the south, those dimensions would diminish. So God had it, and it is their land. Well, hey, people responded. We got a full load of callers, Alex. Let's go to them as quick as we can. Thomas in Tennessee. Thomas, thank you for calling.
Yes, how are you guys doing?
Doing great today. Thank you for calling, man.
Great. Hey, Bert, my wife Susie and I are from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we met you at the Fishbowl Retreat.
Oh, yeah, man.
Pacific Landing. We had a great time. It was such a wonderful time. Met you and your wife and a lot of great people.
Amen. We're going to have another one this October. The details will be coming out, and you'll be hearing it. But, Thomas, thank you for that. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, you betcha. I always try to respect everyone, okay? I don't care what their ministry is, what their denominations are. I am interested in witnessing and ministering to others, and I do that, you know? But I do believe that we should respect other people's beliefs. There's a verse that says, I should always be prepared. We should always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks us the reason for the hope we have. And then it concludes with, but do so with gentleness and respect. And so I don't get upset, but I'm so concerned about, we're pushing Christianity in politics, you know? And I don't know if we should push our religion or just be prepared to stand up for it.
Okay, Thomas, thank you. Alex, this is that verse is a verse that you use all the time. Go ahead, man.
Well, I'm glad you quoted that 1 Peter 3:15. That's a good verse. Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. The word is really sanctify. that we hold God and His truth to be holy and preeminent in our lives, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that you have. So what we believe and why we believe it, we're to be ready. Every believer, this is not just Billy Graham and David Jeremiah, this is every Christian, be ready to present and even defend your faith. But I like what the caller said, respecting people, because 1 Peter 3:15 concludes, do this with gentleness and respect. Now, I do believe, let me say this, I do believe, Bert, that in the lives of people, in the home life, in the church, in the classroom, in the culture, we need God's truth and God's revelation because, and I'll say this, I'll flip back to you, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, it wasn't just to make converts, but it says make disciples. Amen. And here's what the Lord Jesus said, teaching them, all nations, and that would include the nation of America, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So this endeavor to teach all things of God to all people, that's our assignment from Jesus, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And let's do it with that gentleness and respect. And I know I can get loud and excited, and I know I have to, Bert, calm it down. But listen, let's stand for Christ. Stand for Christ. Make much of Jesus. I don't care if it's in the political arena, at church, here on the radio, at work. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but let's do it with gentleness and respect. Thomas, thank you, brother. Hope to see you again at Fishbowl. We do have repeaters. Let's go to Iowa and talk to Dave. Dave, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're loud and clear. Good connection, okay. Man.
Hey, I called, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and got on just at the very last, right before the show was over, and was calling about my brother-in-law, who was having a liver transplant, kidney transplant, up at the Mayo Clinic. And just want to let you know that that went through and it was a success. And we're just,
amen.
Praise God.
So thankful.
Amen. I remember that, Dave. I do remember. Let's praise the Lord. Father, thank you for Dave calling. Sometimes we at church and on the radio, we'll ask for a prayer request. And then when it's time to say, look what God has done, We don't call in. We don't share it. But, Father, I thank you for Dave doing that today. And we thank you for answered prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Dave. Thank you, brother. We mean it with all our hearts. Let's go to Kaysen in Texas. Kaysen, thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
Alex, me and you had supper together in Silverton, Texas, at Brother G.J. Walton's house. It's been several years back, but
I remember Pastor G.J. Walton at First Baptist Silverton, just a fantastic brother and a great church. I do remember. How's everything in my favorite part of West Texas?
It's still here, despite the hurricane winds and stuff. We still got a little dirt here, so that's good. But I'll get to my point. I've been reading through the Bible, and I've looked on YouTube trying to find some good explanations about chronological order and the importance of it, if any. And I'll hang up and listen to you answer that.
Okay, Alex, let me say something first. I love the Bible. I loved it. But when I started understanding it chronologically, it brought a whole different, I won't say meaning, but it brought it full. And I love it, and I tell folks all the time, there's 11 books in the Old Testament. If you read them through, you've read through the chronological part of it. Now, like the prophets and all of those, the Psalms, they took place during that time. But reading it chronologically, I love it. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, you know, I had the privilege when I went to seminary, one of my jobs, and I had a bunch of jobs, but I worked in a Christian bookstore. And for about 6 years, Bert, and there was, and I forget who published it, but there was what we call the Chronological Study Bible. Have you ever seen one of those? And like, for example, one of the oldest books of the Old Testament is the book of Job, which I'll be teaching at the Cove this summer, the Billy Graham Center, July 18-20. And so, you know, you've got, obviously, in Genesis 1 and 2, the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, the fall. But in terms of the history of Israel and the history of the world, frankly, it can be very enlightening to read it in chronological order, because the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, the way they group it, you know, I think Jesus grouped it for us in a way, the Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets. But historically, the chronology is different. And so there are reading plans out there. You can go online and find a reading plan, or, like I said, there's chronological study Bibles. But as long as you're getting into the Word of God, you can't help but be instructed.
Amen. I recommend it highly. I do. It made a big difference in my understanding. It kind of filled in some of the gaps. Oh, this took place. So that's great. Let's go to Alabama. Michelle, thank you for calling.
Dave, thank you for having me. I have a question regarding, or see if you're familiar with the Hebrews Root Movement.
Say that again. The Hebrew what? The Hebrew.
Root.
Root. I got you.
Like a root to a tree movement, which started in the 70s.
Okay. Yeah.
And. Have you heard of that?
Okay, yes. Alex, I think we've talked about this two or three times. Go ahead.
Well, let me say, and it kind of goes by various names, but there's basically the premise that the church is Greek and rational and logical, whereas true spirituality is Hebraic. And along with this, in other words, there's, you know, the true Hebraic Christianity versus the Romanized Greek Christianity. And along these lines, folks, is you'll hear left brain, right brain, you know, where some think, whereas really we should more like feel. I want to say this, I want to say it in love. This is wrong. Here's the thing. Because look, the Bible is very clear that Christianity is established by propositional truth claims. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus paid our sin debt. Jesus rose from the dead. These propositional statements, and they are historically true, they happened. Christ is the Son of God. Christ rose from the dead. If you put your faith in Jesus, you will be saved. And I know, look, and you'll never meet a soul that loves Israel and appreciates the Jewish people as much as me. But at the same time, Jew-Gentile, Paul is clear in Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. And there is no Jew nor Greek. We're one in Christ. Now, Bert, let me just say this, and I know I'm getting deep in the weeds. Some of the people who are listening probably going, ah, yes, I've heard this. And other people might be thinking, what? All right, listen. Every human, if you speak, you are using logic and rationality. Because if you speak words, you're assuming that you're conveying some sort of meaning, and you're assuming that the listener understands that meaning. If I say, you know, come inside, supper is ready. You know what that means. Now, people love to say, and I got this just last week as I was on the road, they said, well, Alex, you know, you're logical, but don't forget, that's Greek and all this Aristotle logic, whereas true spirituality is Hebraic. And I didn't want to be rude, but I thought, you're using words and you're expecting me to understand the meaning of those words. The very Greek thought that you're criticizing, you're employing that in trying to convey something. Here's my point. You can't get around the fact truth exists and we express truth in words. Is that logical and rational? Yes, praise God. And among the words that we can proclaim, and hopefully people will understand, is that Christ is risen.
And Alex, I'd go back to the first questioner today about that scripture about be ready to give an answer of the faith that is in you. Guess how you're going to do that? You're going to do it through those words and those means, through the words and saying, can you follow this? And it is, has logic to it. Now, there's some things that God did, intervened, and he walked on water. He's the creator, so he can do all that. But the idea of thinking that if you had that idea, couldn't you make nearly the scripture say a lot of things that you want it to say? I mean, in the real background of it.
And, you know, Bert, you and I often, we use the term historical grammatical.
That's it.
Now, grammatical, what do the words say? Historical, you know, understanding the historical milieu, that can be helpful. But listen, Jew, Gentile, male, female, if you believe in Jesus, the risen Son of God, that's Christianity.
It really is. Philip, James, love to have gotten to you. And James, it's me that uses the New King James, and I love it. And the little bit of differences that you have from a New King, like today with Alex, some of the scriptures he read, he was saying, well, it really means this. And the New King James, it already said it that way and doesn't do the thous and the thines, but it's a good, good version of the Bible. Just wanted you to know that. Alex, we'll see you tomorrow with more of the book of Exodus. You ready, brother?
I'm ready. Amen. Folks, stay tuned to AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.